always got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
You know what sounds nicer and nicer the older you get?
What's that?
Sleeping.
Oh my goodness.
Like... younger me was not interested, you know, kids hate
a whole
naps.
Lot of sleep.
Yeah. And then as you get older, you're like, you know what sounds really nice?
Lots
a
of sleep.
Nap. Like, yeah. I would love to be asleep from forever, it seems sometimes. I don't ever feel like you get enough sleep as an adult. You know what I mean?
It feels that way. And we don't even have kids.
Right?
Could you imagine?
Feel bad for those folks.
Poor parents. We love you, parents.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. And so the idea of being put magically to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of sounds nice.
Yeah, let's do that.
And let's be fair. The focus of our movie today, our movie podcast today, she has it the easiest out of all of the Disney princesses, in my opinion.
Right.
She legitimately... she grows up out in the woods, so maybe that might be less fun, I guess. But as far as the movie goes, she has like 20 lines and then she's done.
And as you know, we're talking about Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty, Aurora, Briar Rose, whatever alias she decides to go by this week.
That's the hardest part about her, is just knowing what to call her.
She has so many names.
Right.
And it's funny because like, we all know the story, but then you watch the movie again, you go, huh, she really, this story's a lot more nuanced than I originally remember every time I watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's born, like the beginning of the movie is about her being born and her birth party. You can't even call it a birthday party because it's just a birth party.
Right.
And randomly, three fairies show up. They don't really explain where they come from or why they're there. Everyone just accepts the fact that they're there.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. And immediately followed up by the Wicked Witch. What is she?
They call her an evil fairy a lot. But I guess you could call her a witch. She calls herself the mistress of all evil, so whatever you want to take that as.
Oh, Elvira, huh?
And Maleficent, her motivations, I think, are suspect at best. I think it's a lot of pride. She has her pride hurt because she shows up and says, I was most distressed at not receiving an invitation. And Meriwether, the feisty fairy, goes, you weren't wanted.
Oh.
And she goes, not want. Oh,
well, then.
Awkward situation. I'll be on my way. And Sleeping Beauty's mother, who, by the way, is one of the few, Aurora is one of the few Disney princesses that still has both parents alive.
It's right. How much did you like that?
It's so rare. And maybe this is why, because her mom doesn't do anything.
Like, that's okay with me.
Okay.
She's still there.
She asks, oh, so you're not offended? And she's like, oh, of course not. And I'll even give a gift to the baby. And everybody's like, ah, here it goes. Because you know, whatever she's bringing is not going to be something the baby wants. Uh-huh. And we get the curse of the... before she turns 16, she's going to prick her finger on the spindle of a spinning wheel and die. It's really aggressive.
It's a very oddly specific too.
Yeah, right?
I'm okay with that.
And I have to say, I listened to the wording closer now because I remember in the past thinking, because immediately after this, the king burns all of the spinning wheels in the kingdom. And I thought...
wise choice?
Well, when you hear sometime before she's 16, before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she'll prick her finger and die.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. What I heard is on her 16th birthday before the sun sets. Okay. And I always thought it was crazy that I was like,
you got 15 and a half years.
Yeah, you have basically 16 years. What if somebody needs to use that, you know? You're being crazy. But sometime before then is the threat.
It could happen anytime.
It could.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. It could happen right now.
Right. Poor Aurora.
And luckily, the other two had given the worst gifts also. They gave her song, which... what, really? And but they did give her beauty, which
right.
helps her out in the long run, we come to find out. But Meriwether hadn't been able to give her gift yet, and so she's able to not remove the curse, but kind of steer it in a less deadly direction.
Very nice that they have her around to do that, right?
Luckily, they always relegate her to the lesser jobs so that she's there. But in the end, really, Meriwether is the one that saves Aurora from the curse in general. If it weren't for her, she would have died. So luckily with Meriwether, she's just going to go to sleep until she gets true love's kiss, because true love conquers all.
And I'd much rather just sleep until somebody wants to kiss me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's much better.
Nice,
let's do that.
Right. And like I said, it's a good thing they gave her the gift of beauty, because imagine if they hadn't gotten to that gift. Who's gonna kiss her if she's not pretty, because she's not saying nothing
while you're just sleeping there,
right?
Kind of creepy.
And so the three fairies,
don't think about it too much, folks,
right? Don't get too deep in the details. The three fairies decide that they're going to disguise themselves as peddler women and raise Aurora away from the castle so that Maleficent can't find her, which, you know,
smart thing to do.
It's a drastic move, but it might work. It works better than the plan that Flora had, that she was going to turn her into a flower, because I'm not sure how that would have worked out for everybody.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good plan at all.
Right. Meriwether's like, until Maleficent sends the frost, you know, it's like, yeah, then she'll just die anyway. So the king and queen allow these three to take the baby out into the woods, and we literally jump from that to 15 years, 364 days later.
Yeah, not a lot happened. Not a lot happened during that time period.
Apparently, she was an angel child and didn't do anything for 16 years, right. Apparently.
Played with little animals.
Right? And they decide on her 16th birthday, they're going to kick her out of the house so they can surprise her. Which, to be fair, the best part of the movie is them preparing the birthday party.
It is the best part.
Literally the best part of the movie. But... like, Sleeping Beauty is one of those few princesses that we have that doesn't wear shoes. She doesn't wear shoes.
I didn't notice that, actually. Did you?
Yeah, she's out dancing around the woods with no shoes on.
No shoes.
Huh. And so they send her out, and luckily she's got one of them Broadway opera voices that echo through the woods.
Yeah.
Because Prince Philip hears her and comes a-running.
Right? I would, too. Yeah.
Would you come a-running if you heard someone singing in the woods?
If some pretty blonde girl was singing in the woods, I would come take a look.
Okay, so what if a pretty blonde girl with no shoes is surrounded by a bunch of animals? Would you go take a look then?
Oh, I'd look. Yeah.
Would you fall in love instantly? Because that's what happens here.
That's less likely.
Well, it's like I said, it's a good thing they gave her beauty. Because he literally sees her this one time and falls head over heels in love with her. Thank goodness for the beauty.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, he'd be like, oh, well, I mean, she's okay. Right. I definitely won't come running back to try to kiss her later.
Yeah, no kidding. You know? You're right. At that point, she would just be some crazy woman singing in the woods.
And while she's out dancing and singing with Prince Philip, who she doesn't know is a prince, but while she's doing that, we get the best scene of the movie, which is Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether making her birthday party.
Yeah, you absolutely love this scene.
It's so funny. It's these three, I don't know how they survived up to this point, but it's these three magic creatures trying to do things without magic and failing in spectacular fashion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's like, three cups of flour, and then she just grabs three random cups and just you know, of no discriminant size and just dumps them in. Eggs fold in gently. So she literally puts two eggs in and folds the stuff over on top of it, you know.
And this proves how hard it is to cook if you don't know what these terms mean.
Right. You just kind of assume that people know what folding in eggs mean.
And we have Google now. These poor ladies, they didn't have Google.
No.
They couldn't Google
nothing. Had their Google locked away because their wands were all locked up.
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite thing is when Meriwether's in the dress and she looks down and she goes, "This looks awful." And Flora says, "That's because it's on you, dear." Like, oh my gosh, I forgot how sassy these ladies were.
Seriously. What a bunch of queens these girls were.
And then finally, Meriwether's like, "This is a mess. We're not doing this." And she runs up and grabs the wands and gets relegated to cleaning while the other two finish up, you know, or whatever. It's a great scene. I think it's everybody's favorite scene because it's also where we start seeing the fight between Meriwether and Flora trying to change the dress from blue to pink.
Yeah.
And there's like a Disney urban legend that the animators legitimately couldn't decide.
Oh, okay.
Whether her dress should be blue or pink.
Huh.
So they just wrote it into the movie this way. And I heard someone else say that just sounds almost too precious to be true. But I mean,
I bet that is true.
It could totally be true.
I bet that was totally true. Yeah.
It's during their duel that Maleficent's Raven Diablo finds out where Sleeping Beauty has been this whole time.
Yeah, see, if they weren't fighting over the dress and having all the plumes of smoke going up throughout the house and the lightning and everything else, so right. The color, like, he would never would have found it.
Well, because Maleficent apparently has some of the dumbest minions in the Disney universe.
I was noticing this too.
Because they're like, "Oh, we searched high and low in every cradle," and she's like, "Cradle? This whole time you've been looking for a baby for 16 years?"
These poor wicked witches, they get the worst minions.
Well, let's be fair. You're just being lazy. Go look yourself. If you want something done right,
right,
go do it yourself.
I think the same thing about Wizard of Oz, with their flying monkeys and stuff, you know?
Right.
They seem kind of dumb, don't they?
Well, they actually did what they were supposed to.
No, that's true.
They kidnapped Dorothy. That's all they were supposed to do.
So they got it accomplished.
Yeah. But, so Sleeping Beauty, Aurora comes home. She's all excited because she thinks she's just had the best day ever. Oh, by the way, as she's leaving the prince, she's like, "I'm never going to see you again. Never, never," you know?
Yes.
And within two lines of dialogue, she's like, "Tonight."
Right. Even worse, he's like, "Tomorrow? No, no, no. Tonight."
She went from playing hard to get to getting desperate.
Within 2 seconds. Oh my gosh.
So she's having a great day until she finds out that she's already A, betrothed, and B, has to return home to the castle tonight because she doesn't even belong out here.
Yeah.
It's not even her name. They named her Briar Rose. It's not even her name.
Yeah.
She has no idea what's going on at this point. But now Maleficent is wise to their plan. We also get another weird scene with the two kings being excited about their kids marrying.
Uh-huh.
One of them's already built them a castle to move into to start having kids.
Sounds and great.
The first one's like, "I haven't even seen my daughter for 16 years and you're trying to move her out already?" You know, like, it's a weird...
This is what happens when you get married.
I guess so.
Didn't they realize this is what happens?
Well, but I don't think...
Poor thing.
I don't think part of the plan originally was that as soon as she turned 16, she was getting married.
But this happened so quickly.
The dads decided, apparently, which is what dads do, apparently. I don't know.
It's an old book.
It's an old story.
That's for sure.
They bring Aurora home, sneak her in, and then she's so upset that they leave her alone, which is a horrific thing to do at this point. You've been on high alert for 16 years.
You couldn't wait a few more days?
You couldn't, you know, she's crying. Yeah, it's very sad. But you also know that there is this vicious green woman who's trying to kill her.
Right.
Why would you leave her alone? And, you know, we all know what happens. She is hypnotized, seduced by this light. And this is something that I found really interesting. When I was a kid, we had it on VHS.
Uh-huh.
And it was the music that pulls in Sleeping Beauty just had like these really high vocals in it.
Yeah.
like it weird kind of sound in there. And then when they cleaned it up for the reissue, like to put it out on Blu-ray, they found out that when they cleaned up the audio, it was really a woman's really high-pitched voice saying Aurora over and over again, like drawing her in. So if you listen to that part, you can hear
a woman. Nobody even knew?
Yeah, like people that worked at Disney did not know that that's what it was.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So if you listen real close during that part, talk you can about subliminal hear
messaging
the woman Disney. Saying Aurora's name, which makes it extra creepy.
Wow.
And then comes a part that I find really suspect is these three fairies fail at their job. They find Aurora passed out, right?
Yeah.
And Meriwether says, oh my gosh, what is the king and queen going to say? And Flora says, they're not going to find out. We're going to put them all to sleep until she gets woken up.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, okay, that is the most extreme way to try to hide the fact that you just screwed up.
This is something I would totally do. I totally overreact.
They literally put the entire kingdom to sleep to cover up the fact that they left her alone at the most crucial time in her life.
And there's three of those little ladies.
Right? They could have totally waited. Unbelievable. But anyway, so as they're putting them to sleep, they kind of put two and two together and find out that Maleficent has now captured Prince Philip, and they have to have this big finale.
Yeah.
To get Prince Philip back to Sleeping Beauty, because obviously they're in love after singing in the woods one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, good thing she's pretty, or she'd still be sleeping.
Isn't that true?
And we get the big confrontation with Maleficent. And those fairies do some serious magic at the end of this movie.
Oh, they do, yeah.
They turn arrows into flowers and boulders into bubbles. And
see, this is the way we should fight all wars, is with these little fairies. Don't you think?
Well, except for if they ever get annoyed by you, they can turn you to stone, apparently, because they turn
they did that.
Maleficent's crow into stone.
And they did put the entire village to sleep.
They did do that.
Maybe not. Maybe this isn't the best way to fight a war.
And so we have Maleficent, who tries her thorn trick first. Doesn't work out. He's able to cut through it. So then we get the dragon.
Yeah.
And she's impressive.
Uh-huh.
She's cool. She says a swear right as she turns into the dragon, which I always thought was shocking as a kid.
That is true.
And luckily, the fairy's magic apparently assists in projectile weapons. Because Philip throws the sword and stabs her in the heart. And I think we get the only blood from a Disney movie that I can recall right off the top of my head coming out of the dragon.
Poor little dragon.
Poor little dragon.
There's nothing true about that statement.
No.
Not poor, not little. Dragon.
She's a dragon. And so, of course, he runs up the stairs and kisses her and everybody wakes up. And we have our final dance with her dress changing from blue to pink to pink to blue.
That is true.
It's a relatively short movie. It goes by real quick. The music is amazing. It's all from the Sleeping Beauty ballet.
Hmm.
So I don't know if they had to get rights for that or not, because I think the Sleeping Beauty ballet is so old that it might have just been in public domain at that point.
Oh, how cool is
I'm
that?
I'm not 100% sure on that.
That had been crazy fun.
Yeah.
Now, this did inspire a patch for you, though.
It did. That went through, as usual, a bunch of iterations before we landed on the one that we landed on. Originally, I wanted to do one with all the gross little goblin-y guys.
Oh.
And have it say, I'm a disgrace to the forces of evil.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Because that's what she calls them after she finds out they've been looking in cradles for 16 years.
Okay.
And I thought that would be funny. And I couldn't quite get the look to work. And then I'm always a fan of dragons. I think dragons are cool. And so I decided, okay, well, what if we did a dragon patch?
Yeah.
And then I actually looked up the way Aurora's cradle looks and put the dragon around the cradle. And it's one of the first ones that we did that didn't have any words on it. It was all just a visual.
Oh, right.
Because I thought I had to explain myself a lot more originally. And now I'm not quite as nervous about not putting as many words on my patches as I was before. But it's very popular. It's actually mostly popular in Europe. We get a lot of orders from Europe for that one. Probably because they have a Sleeping Beauty castle over there at Disneyland Paris.
Oh, right.
So, and they appreciate good art too. I'll just say that. That's true. So it's always always exciting to get an order from France or from England or whatever and go, oh, they ordered another one of them Sleeping Beauty dragon patches.
Yeah, we had to trust you on the address because we have no way of verifying, which sometimes is right.
I see those addresses and I'm like, there are too many words, numbers, and spaces in here. Like, I cannot wrap my head around the way they do their addresses in Europe, apparently. So if we're ever on The Amazing Race and have to find an address in Europe, we are just
out of luck.
Yeah. Because I won't be able to find one.
We'll be going to our European friends and say, please decipher this address.
You ordered a patch a long time ago. Do you mind pointing us in this direction?
How creepy is that?
That would be terrible.
Oh, they would hate us.
Yeah.
They'd be like, that's weird.
So, final verdict on Sleeping Beauty. What was your final verdict on that?
It reminded me a whole lot of Frozen, mainly the horse. Like, the horse to me looked exactly like the horse from Frozen.
You mean the reindeer?
Yeah.
Sven?
Sure.
Okay.
They looked very similar.
It was the first time that they gave an animal a personality like that.
Yeah.
There
were other parts of it too that I was just like, it just feels very familiar to the newer movies, specifically kind of like a Frozen type of a thing. But
yeah,
the storyline's completely different, so I guess not. But
it's very easy to get mixed up with some of those early princesses too. Sometimes the stories kind of melt together for people.
Uh-huh.
I think even you were asking if this was the Cinderella movie. Like,
that's just the way it is for me. Though,
yeah.
Right?
Sometimes
nobody
the princesses,
out there is surprised by this statement.
Right. Sometimes the princesses' stories are a little too similar. But I have to say, she's very pretty. And she, I think, like
doesn't
I said,
Snow White, she sleeps in a glass coffin for a while,
she
doesn't
does,
she?
She does, yeah.
See?
Saying. that's not Cinderella, though.
No, you got to pay very close attention for this.
I think Sleeping Beauty has it easier than every other princess because she does nothing except sing and cry.
I want to be a princess.
And wear a color-changing dress. Yeah.
And you were going to do a shirt. You want to do a color-changing shirt like that, right?
I wanted to do a Disney bound, which is where you wear normal clothes that give like an homage to a Disney character.
Yeah, this.
And my goal, it's honestly just to go to like a Halloween party, Disney Halloween party, and be comfortable. I hate costumes in general. But if you just got a shirt and it was like splatter painted half blue and half pink, I guarantee people would know what you were doing at that point.
At least some people.
Yeah.
The cool people.
The Disney fans would totally get it.
Yeah.
But overall, great movie, worth a watch, really short, so even if you don't like it, it's over pretty quick.
True.
But it's like I always say, I like to turn her into a fat old hot toad.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-fingered point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app, and if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.